Hear again the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God." In the name of Jesus, amen. Greetings, dear family of faith. Our gospel lesson this morning picks up where we left off last Sunday, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Jesus has been laying the groundwork for and developing a very significant theological point in the last several chapters of Mark and in the last several weeks of our readings, namely what he says to us today, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. Like all good orators, Jesus knows more than one way to write a speech. Often, a speech or a sermon begins with the thesis or the theme, and then proceeds with two or three main sections, main divisions, and each of those have subpoints. And finally, it concludes with a summary, an application, or a call to action, depending on the goal of the speech. If you listen to speeches or sermons carefully, you will notice this simple structure, the deductive outline, is followed in the great majority of them, whether that's your boss at work or your pastor. However, there's many other ways to structure a speech, including the inductive outline. This structure puts the thesis at the very end. All the other points of the speech are gradually put in place for the hearer, encouraging engagement and thought, perhaps even encouraging the listener to put all the pieces together and reach the conclusion that the speaker wants them to reach, and that he will reach at the end, pulling back the curtain to reveal the theme or the thesis. Now, in general, we're more familiar with this structure from books and movies in recent memory. For example, the movies The Usual Suspects or The Sixth Sense. In both of those movies, the conclusion of the film gives you a point that can completely change your interpretation of all the events that lead up to the conclusion, and that really make clear all of the breadcrumbs that were given to you as the movie progressed. All of those little details, those clues, those crumbs that were given you early on, all come into focus at the very end. Now, at this point in St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus is teaching the disciples piece by piece, crumb by crumb, giving them little pieces of his teaching, and really with the goal of having them to understand their complete dependence upon him for their salvation. We see, for example, the confession of St. Peter in Mark chapter 8, just a few chapters earlier. There, Peter declares, "You are the Christ." And from that point on in Mark's gospel, Jesus begins to explain what it means that he is the Christ. The disciples know that he is the Christ, but they do not yet understand what the significance of that title means. Namely, they do not understand that it is necessary for Christ to suffer, to die, and on the third day to rise from the dead. So Jesus reiterates this to the disciples on three different occasions. First, in Mark chapter 8, he says it after Peter's confession. Second, in Mark chapter 9, he states it after the transfiguration and after he has exorcised the mute boy of the demon. And finally, a third time, in Mark chapter 10, a few verses after our reading today, Jesus will reiterate it. The Son of Man will go to Jerusalem, he will suffer, he will die, and he will rise. As Jesus teaches about the necessity of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he is feeding the disciples crumb by crumb, piece by piece. And see, they, like you and I, often do not understand the significance. See, we need Jesus to be our patient teacher who gives us word by word the words of eternal life. Much as a parent teaches a child how to speak how to read, the disciples must be taught word by word. You, dear Christians, are the child learning to make new sounds with your mouth, learning to sharpen your pronunciation, learning to put up with hot rooms. You're learning, just like the disciples are. And there's going to be plenty of grubby hands and little shrieks along the way. But today's gospel reading is the culmination of a series of lessons, a kind of unit review at the end that Jesus is giving. He has spoken of the necessity of the Son of Man's suffering, death, and resurrection. He's been hammering that point. But you'll note, the disciples don't really understand until after the resurrection. But now, in today's reading, he asks them, or shows them rather, why it is necessary. Simply put, Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection is necessary because by man's righteousness, it is impossible. Impossible for man to enter into the kingdom of God. As Jesus makes clear, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. And with man, it is impossible. See, on your own, apart from Christ, according to your father Adam, you are deaf, just like the man in Mark chapter 7. You are unable to hear God's words of warning and consolation. You are hungry for worldly things, just as the 4,000 that gathered that day to hear Jesus in the wilderness, like in Mark chapter 8. You are like the blind man in Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8, unable to see your Savior standing before you. You are like the young boy standing at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration, unable to appeal to God because you are trapped in the domain and power of Satan, a pawn of his purposes. And like the disciples, you too are stuck in the rat race, jockeying for prestige, recognition, honor, arguing about who is the greatest among us. Behold, the culmination of what Jesus has been teaching the disciples and you, dear Christians, these last several weeks and months. With man, it is impossible to enter into eternal life. Your sin, your deafness to God's word, your hunger for the things of this world, your muteness when it matters, your slavery to sin and Satan, your lust for power and control, these things keep the natural man, the sinful man, firmly locked away in the devil's camp, destined for the eternal fires. And that's the point, dear Christian. It's the point of what Jesus has been getting at these last several months, particularly the last few weeks. It is impossible. That really is how we are to think and speak about inheriting eternal life. Because that's what God's righteousness demands, perfection. So we come across the I don't know what I wrote there. That's what God's righteousness demands, perfection. You see at last that we stand condemned by the law. Apart from Christ, without him, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. There is no glossing over God's words of the law. There is no clarification or nuance that's going to get you off scot-free. The divine judge does not make clerical errors like our Oregon DMV does. Let the reader understand. The sentence stands. The law's condemnation is complete and total. And yet, Jesus Christ looks upon you with compassion, as he did those 4,000 hungry men that day. And he gave to them the bread of eternal life. You were blind, deaf, And yet he calls you, he calls out to heaven on your behalf. Ephatha, be opened, and your ears are opened, and your tongue is loosed. He takes you by the hand. He spits in your eyes, and you begin to see. He prays for you daily by the power of the cross and his shed blood. And the demons shudder and flee, and Satan is conquered. The kingdom of the evil one crumbles around you, and Jesus Christ takes you by the hand and pulls you out of it. He does that through his word and sacraments. For here in the congregation of his church, the communion of the saints, Jesus ties the towel around his waist and serves you. He enters into this rat race. He takes upon himself the form of a servant as the disciples are jockeying for the place of honor. He subjects himself to Caesar at his birth, traveling in utero to Bethlehem. He subjects himself to Pilate at his death, the one who has been given authority by the Father to execute judgment in Judea. All the while, Jesus suffers as the servant, receiving in his body the wrath of God against your sin. Behold, with man it is impossible, but with God it is possible. With man, it is difficult, but not with God. That's the point. That is what it means that Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who suffers for you, the one who dies for you, the one who is raised for your justification, the one who has ascended on high to reign as your king, the one who defends you against all evil. It is to him that we appeal. Lord, have mercy. I believe, help my unbelief. Feed me, open my eyes, open my ears, save me from this body of death. And it is Jesus Christ, dear Christian, who enthroned in glory and majesty, hears your cry. And because of his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, he answers it. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. To him alone be the honor, glory, and dominion forever and ever. Amen.